You know, sometimes times look good and sometimes they look dark. But glory, hallelujah, our God is marching on.
Amen.
He's going to bring it all to completion the way He wants it. He's going to bring it all to completion. And there's going to be eternity of bliss and joy for those who know Jesus, and destruction for those who don't know Jesus. He is marching on. So glad that you're in the Lord's house today. I know we have several folks that are sick, some children, and then some others, but we're glad you're here. And maybe somebody's in the parking lot, perhaps others are listening on the website later, but we're glad that every person is a part of the service. We know the same Holy Spirit can speak here in the parking lot or through your computer or iPad or however you would listen to the service later. God's good. God's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you for those that have gathered here today at Barbie's Grove to worship you, to honor you. Father, we pray for those that are not here because they're sick. They're dealing with physical problems. I pray, Father, that you'll touch them, that there'll be strength, healing, restoration. Father, I pray for those that should be here today but aren't because they're sin sick, they're backslidden. And I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit will bring them to a new relationship with you. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that your mercy is new every day. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who's here to guide us as we worship, as we sing, as we study your word. We want you to know, Lord, that you're welcome. Welcome in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. As we think about Veterans Day today, we are celebrating the Veterans Day. We certainly appreciate all the veterans, and we'll be covering that in just a few moments. But as we normally do on Sunday morning, the first thing on Sunday morning, we like to have a hymn sing, and we are going to, in relation to and as honor of our veterans, we're going to be singing America the Beautiful. And indeed, we do have a beautiful land. You travel it enough, as much as I have, and seen it, you will know what a great blessing it is. But it's also a great blessing that God lets us be here this morning and be able to be able to sing these songs in freedom. And let's all stand and sing America the Beautiful, 6:30 in your books if you care. Otherwise, it's on the board. So let's all stand together, please. Spacious skies. thank you. And everybody said amen. Welcome someone this morning. Well, as I said earlier, today is our observance of Veterans Day. We are thankful today. We stand thankful as a people, as a church, for those veterans who have the uniforms and who are standing the wall and standing the job today and away from their homes, away from their families. And certainly in these volatile times that we're living in now, what a time for us to be in prayer for our veterans and for those who have the uniform and those who are away today, seeing that our nation remains free. Also helping those who can't help themselves. All of those things are being done by their veterans. I have some veterans that we're here in our church that I want to remember this morning and lift up specially in our prayer today, as we pray today. We want to pray for Dane Barbie, Mark Coley, Robert High, Justin Ray Keplinger, and Bobby G. Williams. You have an insert in your bulletin today, and it'll list their ranks and the military service they were in. But let's be thankful for today that we have an America to be in, where we are today. And we are here today because of these people who had their uniforms on, who went out sometimes unselfishly and for us. So let's keep that in our prayers this morning as we go today. I have a few other announcements I want to share with you today. And this is the Baptist Children's Home annual offering. Will be this month as usual. So, and the week of prayer will be November the 12th through the 19th. So we always support the Children's Home. Let's remember the week of prayer as well as we go forward. And Children's Home is a great, great organization. Call conference for November the 26th, proposed budget will be, and that budget is ready for us to approve. So be ready to call and to vote on it on November the 26th. West Stanley Christian Ministries. West Stanley Christian Ministries is teaming up with the local churches and people throughout the county to collect money and toys for families in the area. The day of giving will be December the 9th, and this is their 11th year. So it is a well, a planned and organized thing of giving for the people who do not have. So let's remember that. A time of giving for Christmas. And the old saying is true, it's more blessed to give than to receive. My best blessings is those gifts that you give, and you know there's no way you're ever going to get anything back for it. You're doing it because it's the thing to do from the heart. Let's keep that in mind as we go forward and as we go forward today. We've got a Christmas-wide Christmas dinner coming up on December the 2nd. This is the same one that we do in lieu of the Senior Citizens Party. We're now the Baptist women, the wings, have decided that we want to go ahead and do this church-wide. So we will have the same menu, I'm told. So we got to cook. We'll have a chicken stew and oyster stew and all the trimmings and whatever trimmings are with the stew. But a lot of crackers. And also we'll have desserts, and so we'll do that. So then also your praise team has met, and we're preparing a Christmas program for December the 17th. It'll start at 6 o'clock, and we'll be singing, and there'll be a program involved and all the way through, and you'll be hearing more about that as we go forward. And then after that, at 7, will be finger foods and time of fellowship that we normally would do for our Christmas program. Remember, normally in our Christmas program, we do that on the Christmas before, the Sunday night before Christmas, not Christmas Eve, but the week before, which will be the 17th. So keep that in your mind. It'll be in the bulletin, and you'll be seeing that. Now, have I forgotten anything this morning? Oh, yes. Don't forget the pig. We've got to get the Boston butt sale. Jeff, you want to take this one? We'll take it. And one other thing, the praise team will need to meet Thursday night at 6. So we'll be here. We're working on Christmas. And Christmas is going to be here before we know it. I can promise you that. I mean, it seems to me like after Halloween that you just turn around about three times and it's time to open gifts. And it's time to work and time to get ready for Christmas. And so, while she's here, and I believe in giving people the roses while they can smell them. And Angie, you did it again. Beautiful fall decorations. You and the family. Just give them a hand. So this, and I say this, and I know this to be true. Come Christmas time, she'll do it all over again. And it's just beautiful, and we thank you so much. We appreciate it. All right, anything else that I may have overlooked this morning? All right, then let's go to our prayer list this morning. As we go to our prayer list this morning, I know already that, Angela, we need to be in prayer for you come Wednesday. You're going to be doing a CT scan, right? Are they going to be doing a CT scan?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know God has blessed you to be cancer-free, and I know that you're going to continue to be. Just in my heart, I believe God's going to take care of you, young lady. I do believe that. All right. We also remember our veterans this morning, as we've already said this morning. Reverend Jim is away this morning, and he is away doing a trial. I guess I would say a trial sermon, and he's doing a trial sermon. And also, they want him to be a director of missions in this association. So, if he's accepted, so it's just a matter, you know, how these things work. He's doing a trial sermon, and they'll do a vote on him, and we'll see how it goes from there. But anyway, we need to be in prayer for him this morning. He asked that we be in prayer for God's will. And I think that's the way it needs to be when it comes time for a preacher to go in any area. It needs to be God's will. It needs to be God's calling. And that's what he's seeking, and I know that. So let's remember that. And do I have any other this morning that we need to put up? Yes. Yes. Okay. Jonathan Smart. Okay. Sharp. Okay. I've got it wrong. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Stace.
You put Jerry Tucker on there. He's been in the hospital, out, and back in. He was on the vent, but I think they can bring him off of the vent, but he's having a lot of breathing troubles.
Okay. Okay. Jerry Tucker. Okay. Anyone else? Yes. You need to keep remembering Tony and Ruth. And I do know that Tony is doing much better. And Ruth, the last count I had, she was still awfully sore. So, Janice, you can bring us up to date probably better on that.
She's supposed to not put any weight on that leg until she goes back to the doctor to schedule Tuesday. But she told me she could tell the pain.
Okay. And I know one thing we need to mention too, and I know you all are aware of this, that anything we can do to help them, one thing that we found that they really could use and help would be food. So if you want to take a meal out there to help them out, that would be great. And so I know that would be appreciated. Don't you, Janice?
Some of the ladies have started.
Have they already got it done? Rita?
Yes, like Rosita's the head of the.
Okay, all right. Well. Okay. Well, I should have known that Rosina and Rita and the rest of them on top of it, but I just thought I'd mention it. In fact, if you want to do something to be helped, just check that out. Okay? All right. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, please. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this special day, Lord, that we can honor our veterans. And Lord, I know that as long as time has existed, there have been a need. There have been a need for the veterans. There have been a need for time because, Lord, there have always been wars and rumors of wars. And, Lord, I know you know all about that and the reason for it, Lord, and I know that we're in troubling times now. And I know this morning there's some veterans out there now who do not know that they would be in Palestine or whether they will be in the next few days. But, Lord, wherever they are, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would take care of them. And Lord, we know that war means just that. that lives will be lost. People will be hurt. Innocent people will be hurt. But Lord, we know that someone greater than I and you, anyone else, will have to understand why. But Lord, we know it's in your hands, and we ask for your will, your precious will, to be done for our veterans. Lord, take care of them and be near and dear to them. We ask to be with their families, Lord, as they are away from their families. And we pray that we be with their families, they would understand and have patience and understanding. We thank you, Lord, for those who are not here today, Lord, that might be traveling. We ask for traveling mercy for them today. But then, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon those who have asked. Jonathan Sharp, this morning, will you lift him up to you? We pray for Jerry Tucker, who has breathing issues. Lord, we pray for him today. Terry and Tony and Ruth, Lord, we pray, continue to pray for them as they're getting better. But, Lord, that takes time. It takes time, Lord, for the complete healing. But, Lord, we ask you would aid in that healing and give them strength and give them courage. We ask a special blessing upon our pastor, Lord, as he will stand today and he will divide his word even for us, that we may apply it to our hearts and our lives. And then, Lord, we pray a special blessing upon this time of the year. We are entered now, Lord, a time for Thanksgiving. And, Lord, we know that it's easy for this world that we live in, this secular world, to forget Thanksgiving and move right on to Christmas, which they call holidays. But, Lord, we want to be truly thankful. And help us, Lord, to be truly thankful for what we have and what you've given us. And thank you for this time of worship that we have today. And these blessings I would ask in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we think about Veterans Day and as we think about this nation that we live, there's a song that I just prayed about, and that is God Bless America. And indeed, that's what we ask for today, that God would truly bless America and bless those uniforms and bless those men and women who are wearing those uniforms today. We've got this one up on the board for you today. God Bless America. Let's all stand and sing it together this morning, please.
God bless America. With foam, God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, land. To the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
And everybody said amen. Let's give a round of applause. America. Children, you are dismissed.
This morning I got to
thinking back a long time ago, and some of you are old enough to remember, some of you won't have a clue. When television was in its infancy, it seems like I remember a show where they'd flash on a, well, like, say, a man standing there, and he'd say, "My name's Ed Lauder." They'd flash on another man, he'd say, "My name's Ed Lauder." And a third man, "My name's Ed Lauder." And so then they got to figure out, the panel has to figure out who's the real Ed Lauder and who's the fake.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, to tell the truth. We've been looking in the book of Ephesians, and we'll be in chapter 5 again today, at some of the characteristics of what it means to be a Christian. Who's really a Christian? What does a Christian look like? You remember we started off with Paul saying that we became Christians without good works. We became Christians, believers, through the mercy of God. But then as a result of the power of God's indwelling presence in our lives, good works were to follow. And so there's so many areas that Paul has talked about in chapter 4 and 5 of ways our lives will be different because we're believers. I keep emphasizing the fact that folks that look at you and look at me ought to be able to tell that we're Christian, that we're really followers of Jesus. And I want to follow that up again today with some other Christians' thoughts and some other descriptions of what a Christian is. So, Ephesians 5. And last week we finished up with verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Using our time wisely. We only get so many days. And none of us know how many that's going to be. I remember whenever I was a young child, one of the young men in our church who'd just gotten his driver's license was in a wreck on a Sunday afternoon and died. And they said about Jerry that it's not how long you live, it's how well. You know, some people do more good for the kingdom of God in 30 or 40 years than some others do in 70. I'm thinking about a young lady up in the mountains. And tomorrow be 19 years since she was killed in a car wreck, 15 years old. But it's amazing the number of people she affected for Jesus in those 15 years. Redeem the time, use the time wisely. You never know how long you'll have. And then he says in verse 17, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." There are some folks that think, well, how can you know the mind of God? Surely you can't know the mind of God. But Paul just said, know the will of God. Learn how to discern the will of God. People don't think it's possible, but it is possible to discern the will of God. You say, well, maybe that's okay for you preachers. No, anybody can discern the will of God for your life. We ought to. Beginning, you know, as a young person, what about my schooling? What about my dating? What about my possible marriage? What about a career? Where am I going to live? Discerning the will of God. What does God want for me? What's God's direction? I remember when Sarah was maybe 16 or so, And she's talking about some guy asked her for a date. And she turned him down. She said, he's not a believer. He's not a Christian. I'd never marry him, so why go out on a date with him? You know, she was already discerning the will of God. And the interesting thing is, she said, I want a man who has a heart for God. And the interesting addition to that is that when we went out that summer, you know, in May to pick her up at ORU and to bring her back here for the summer, one of her girlfriends says, you've got to meet Brian. He has such a heart for God. Such a heart for God. And of course, they've been married now about 30 years. Knowing the will of God is so important. Now, in the book of John, it's chapter 10, verse 2, it says, he that entereth in by the door of the shepherd of the sheep, to him the porter open, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then in verse 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then in John 16, verse 12, this is my commandment. No, wait a minute, wrong chapter. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show these things to you. You see, the Bible says you can know the mind of God. And folks, it's so much better. Life is just so much more joy when you're walking in the will of God. And life can become a thrill. Life can become a thrill when you're walking in the will of God. Now, last week I told what I'm about to tell to three or four of you, but I'm going to tell this, not to pat myself on the back, but just to give you an example of what it means to walk in the will of God. There's a couple of ministries that I support every month in addition to my tithe to the church. And then there's some I support whenever I have the extra funds to do it. And I'd said, Lord, depending on what the pastor's appreciation bonus is or gift is, I want to support something this month. And so y'all were very, very generous, and I appreciate that. And so I sat down, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, and wrote some checks, and I put them in the mail at 4 o'clock Friday evening. And about six or seven, Sarah called from Australia, and she and I were talking. And somehow or another it came up, and I don't do Facebook. I don't do all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, I sent some money to Mike and Kim Davis for their Mexican ministry. She said, oh, that's the area in Mexico that was hit by the hurricane and devastated about a week or two before. And says they were begging for some, you know, not begging, but asking for help to take care of the pastors and the church buildings and everything there in Mexico. Now, they live in Tulsa, and they go down and teach pastors and train pastors and work in the churches a number of times during the year. It's interesting. I put the money in the mail at 4 o'clock and I found out the need at 6 or 7. There's another couple named Reggie and Ronan that live in Louisiana that go to Tanzania in Africa several times a year and teach pastors in a Bible school there. And I said, well, I sent them some money as well. She says, Reggie has been in the hospital in Tanzania. They're not sure, maybe kidney failure. And so they showed a picture of him sort of staggering out of the hospital holding an IV bag. And said, they're asking for money to pay hospital bills in Tanzania. And I thought, I put some money to Reggie and Ronan in the mail at 4, found out at 6 or 7 that they needed it. You see, that's the will of God. That's not patting me on the shoulder. That's just learning to listen to God and doing what God. And you made it possible because of what you contributed to me. So when the heavenly rewards are passed out, you're going to get the rewards just as much as I will. But Paul says a part of growing in the Lord is learning to discern the will of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Stay away from drunkenness. And that's still a problem. It's actually a greater problem now than it was, I think, back then. Because if you could get on the back of your mule, the mule usually knew the way home. But if you get behind the wheel of your car, who knows where you're going and who you might kill, yourself or somebody else. And now you get drunk and you get a gun, you're triply dangerous. And I realize that there are those that say, well, I drink in moderation and I don't drink and drive. And talking to a lady yesterday afternoon from the up in the mountains. And since I've moved away, there's a couple that's built one of those fancy wedding venues up top of one of the mountains. Starting price is $10,000. And I think Pam and I got married for maybe $50,000. You know, we only stayed married 55 years. But anyway, Miss Janie was telling me that a recent wedding they had up there, there's so many of them so drunk, they wouldn't let them leave. They made them spend the night there at the wedding venue because they didn't want them on the highway or really those little narrow mountain roads that make Barber's Grove Road look straight. They were so drunk after the wedding, they made them stay there in the wedding venue. And I wonder how many of them would say they're Christian. It's just better not start. I've seen a few folks, maybe they went 10 or 15 years moderate drinking. But personally, now I'm sure you may know an exception. Sooner or later, it catches up with everybody. I read years ago that every time a person got high, it destroyed brain cells. I need all I got. And most of us do. I don't need anything to destroy any. So he says, avoid the drunkenness. But then he talks about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think there's some misunderstanding here. Some folks say, well, when I got saved, I got filled with the Spirit. Holy Spirit came to live within me. I'm good. I'm good. Every time I trade cars, one of the first things I do is go fill it up with gas. Is that the last time I filled it up with gas? No. I have to fill it up with gas sometimes every other day. Next, not this coming Thursday, but the next Thursday, some of you will eat till you hurt. Is that the last meal you're going to ever eat? No. By supper time, you're going to want something else, or by breakfast the next morning. The actual word is, in the Greek, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember in Acts 2, where the day of Pentecost, and the children of Israel, or the children, not children of Israel, the disciples were filled with the Spirit, those in the upper room, and they went out speaking in tongues and witnessing and sharing, and 3,000 people got saved. They were filled with the Spirit. Was that the last time they were filled with the Spirit? Not according to the Bible. In Acts 4:31, you know, Paul and, not Paul, Peter and John had healed the man at the temple, and they were arrested and told not to do it again. And so after everything was over, they went back to their church, and it says they prayed. If you start reading, we won't start reading it, all of it. But so it says they went back and they prayed. And verse 31 of Acts 4 says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. It says they were filled again. They were filled again. Now, a lot of Christians that are really saved are weak and anemic spiritually because they don't stay filled with the Holy Spirit. They just sort of get away from God. They get away from that dynamic personal relationship with the Lord. And because of that, their spiritual power is depleted, just like running your car till the tank is empty. And we need to be filled with the Spirit continually, daily, all the time, always seeking for God's presence. Paul wouldn't have told us to be filled or keep on being filled with the Spirit if it wasn't a necessity and wasn't something that ought to happen in the life of the believer. Ask yourself the question, how long has it been since I've been completely saturated, filled with the Spirit of God? Maybe you are right now. Maybe not. Maybe you're running on half empty. Maybe you're running on a quarter of a tank. But I would pray for all of us that we'd be filled with the Spirit of God continually. Now he goes on in the next couple of verses to tell us what is going to be the result of being filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. He said, you're going to live a life of joy. Singing and praising and worshiping the Lord. There's going to be joy in your heart when you're filled with the Spirit. Somebody can come in and tell me, oh, I'm full of the Spirit, Pastor. But if they're sour, bitter, critical, all the time, they're fooling themselves. They're fooling themselves. Because being filled with the Spirit is going to give you a joy. I hope you all sing. Whether you sing well or not, it doesn't matter. It's for the Lord. I love to ride down the road in my truck with the windows up. With the windows up, you know. And sing. And I sing, I know a few songs, so I sing some of the ones I know. And sometimes I just make up a song. Sometimes I just make up one. I'm not a tenth of the worshiper that Pamela was, but I just love to do that. I don't do it every day. But there's a joy in my heart that comes from the presence of the Lord. And I pray that's in your life, in your heart. Just the joy of the Lord that overflows out of your life because of that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. What did I write this week? The Lord inhabits, dwells in, lives in, resides in the presence of the praises of his people. And the devil hates it. You know, you go down the road and you're just worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden you realize he's sitting over in the seat beside of you. He said, well, I hear Ed praising me. I think I'll go down and join him. And he's big enough, he can join you just at the same time he's joining me. It makes a difference. When we're worshiping the Lord, the Spirit is just going to bubble over out of us. And there's a joy. Now I realize I'm just like you. There's a day now and then when I don't feel it. I may be physically, mentally, or emotionally, or financially challenged that particular day. And there's a day I don't feel it. But that's really the time I really need to be praising the Lord. Over in the book of Isaiah, there's a verse that says, put on the spirit of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Now, every one of you, when you got up this morning, you got a choice of what you're going to wear to church. That's what you put on, what you wanted to, unless your wife told you different. You chose. When you get out of bed in the morning, you can choose to put on those robes of and clothes of gloom, despair, and agony on me. Or you can choose to put on those garments of praise. Glory to God, hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. It's our choice. So the first thing that comes out of a spirit-filled life, he says, you know, or one of the things that comes out of it is joy. Next thing he says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A thankful heart. A thankful heart. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. Okay, so you've got some aches and pains. You're here, aren't you? There's a lot of folks that can't be here. You had a little something to eat this morning, didn't you? If you wanted it. There are people that didn't have anything to eat this morning. You've got decent clothes. Everybody sitting here has got decent clothes on. There are people this morning that are in rags. You had a home to sleep in. This morning there are people that slept on the streets. The last time I went to Honduras, one of the nights, you know, we were building, but one of the nights we went to Tegucigalpa, the capital, and ministered to kids on the streets. I'm talking about kids. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. We took them burritos and Kool-Aid and fed them. And there are hundreds of them. Why? Mama got remarried and the new dad didn't want the kids, so they just kicked them out. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Be thankful you don't live in Gaza. Be thankful you don't live in the Ukraine. Pray for those people. Pray for them. If the Lord lays it on your heart to give to a relief organization, do it. But a spirit-filled person is a person that has a thankful heart. A thankful heart. And then verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. A thankful heart, a joyous heart, a submissive heart. Supporting one another in love. You know, some people that live with this, the idea, my way or the highway. There's some preachers that practice that. If I ever get up here and do that, just go ahead and call the guys with the straight jackets to come get me. Real Christians filled with the Spirit are going to be supportive of one another, understanding of one another. That doesn't mean we let somebody abuse us physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, or sexually. We don't become a doormat, but we learn to submit to one another. And one of the ways that happens is in the home. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as the Lord. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his wife and mother, shall be joined with his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A spirit-filled life, the husband and wife are going to be treating each other with love and respect and honor. I don't know, my memory of so many of the guys that hang around at the Big Oak. Well, I guess I better go home to the old battle axe. I got to go see the old ball and chain. Hey, forget it. Don't tell me you're filled with the Spirit if that's your attitude. Our attitude ought to be, I want to love my wife, I want to love my husband with all that is within me. I want the love of Jesus in me to flow out to my spouse. I'm sure I failed 1,000 times or more, but my goal was to be so nice to Pam that she'd never find anybody that would treat her better. And I know I failed. And there's some things I've gone to the Lord even in the last few months and said, God, forgive me for not being more sensitive about this or that or the other. But my goal was to show her honor and respect and love and not to, well, I'm the boss and you'll do what I say or else. You know, it's interesting, so many of those dudes around that hung around the Big Oak, I bet they couldn't quoted 10 scripture verses, but they knew that one. Wives, you be submissive to your husband. They knew that verse if they didn't know another single verse in the Bible. Where did they learn that one verse? And she's going to be submissive or else. No, 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 no. He said, love your wife like you. Christ loved the church. Well, he died for the church. That's a sacrificial love. That's a sacrificial love. I think about a lot of times it's the wife that sacrifices a lot. Back when fried chicken was Sunday dinner, and you thought mama loved the gizzards. No, she was just letting the kids and the husband have the good pieces. Mama was sacrificing out of love for her family. She really didn't like the gizzards, but she ate them anyway. Or the neck or whatever other odd piece that nobody else wanted. She was just showing her love, her sacrificial love for her family. Friends, let Jesus be so resonant in our lives that others will say, that's a genuine Christian. That's a genuine Christian. Whether it's with our spouse, our coworkers, our kids, make a difference. In a world where so many hate one another, where so many, the sentiments in that last, those two songs we just sang, crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Not a lot of brotherhood going on in the United States right now. The Arabs hating the Jews and the Jews hating the Arabs and the Republicans hating the Democrats and the Democrats hating the Republicans and various branches of all of those parties hating other branches of the parties. And it's just not a lot of brotherhood. But we need to learn to love one another and let the Spirit of God Spirit of God. Little chorus, we are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. The love of Jesus in us, touching others. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Close your eyes. If you're a little depleted spiritually, ask the Lord to fill you again. Ask the Lord to give you again the joy of your salvation. You know, David had to go to the Lord, I think it's in Psalm 51, and said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Ask the Lord to just fill you, restore the joy. Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And make a commitment of your life to be so full of the Spirit of God that the love of Jesus spills out of you onto everybody that you meet. Starting in your home is a good place. But down at the store and the restaurant and the workplace. And it's not us, it's just us submitting to the presence of Jesus, knowing the will of God and allowing Him to direct our lives and saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. Yes, Lord. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.